if you come away with 80% of what we're going to talk about here and it's of use to you, then you know you're going to be doing a heck of a lot more than most other small business website owners perhaps are doing. Yeah, and to go into the other 20%, to really get that extra nudge, that extra boost, you're going to be looking at either getting yourself mighty confused in the first place or spending a lot of money with people that know it a little bit better.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, and welcome along again to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for people who want to know what works when it comes to reaching more customers. I'm David Council from beautiful Paradise, Tasmania, and in the UK, come in, David, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, guys, this is...
I was worried there for a second.
I thought I'd give you a little case of the kittens there. Absolutely. Here we are in the UK, and it's early morning, my time, and late evening yours, I guess, Dave. I think we're about 11 or 12 hours apart at the moment, on opposite sides of the world, opposite hemispheres, North Pole, South Pole, different seasons and all that good stuff. But here we are at the beginning of another David versus David podcast episode, where we are discussing all sorts of good stuff to help small and medium business owners do better with their businesses and help them out. So hopefully that's what we're doing. Now, last week we were talking, predominantly I was talking. Guy, I went off on a long ramble about search engines and the basics behind the history and their foundation and a main core overview elements of what search engines do and how they do it and some of the changes that have happened over the last 2, 3, 4 years and so on. So this week, as promised, we are going to continue that in a little bit more depth, and hopefully we're doing this the right way. I mean, you know, this whole businesses industry is built on search engine optimization and all its various nuances and factors, and we're talking multi-million pound businesses here. The depth that you can go into can be frightening and confusing, mainly because in order to avoid excessive manipulation and people with deep pockets taking a stranglehold on their particular market, and in order to provide the best information, the most relevant information to their users, search engine companies such as Google really keep what they do, the workings of their search engines, a pretty tightly controlled commercial secret. If everybody knew exactly what they had to do and what they had to tune on their website to get it to number one, everybody would try to do it. It would be manipulated beyond belief, and you'd have the top 10 results that would probably not be what anybody would actually want to see for the search term that they're looking for. So last week we covered the basics of how Google works in terms of the main generic factors. Two things we discussed in particular were on-site factors, which are the things on a web page and a website that you as the website owner, creator, webmaster, author, editor, whatever, actually have some control over. Things that you can type from a keyboard and appear on your website. The other set of factors that we have are called off-site factors, and they are things that you can assist with, but strictly speaking, you shouldn't have much control over, and these are the references to your website from elsewhere on the internet. So links pointing to your website from other websites and elsewhere on the net. And we are going to discuss the do's and don'ts in this episode for both on-site factors and off-site factors. So again, you know, there's only so much depth we want to go into. This is kind of like the 80-20 rule. If you come away with 80% of what we're going to talk about here and it's of use to you, then you know you're going to be doing a heck of a lot more than most other small business website owners perhaps are doing. Yeah, and to go into the other 20%, to really get that extra nudge, that extra boost, you're going to be looking at either getting yourself mighty confused in the first place or spending a lot of money with people that know it a little bit better.
Because we know this is hard. You know, if it was easy, then everyone would be on page one, position one of Google. It's not easy, but there are a few things that you can do that will help make your website perform better, and that falls into that 80%.
You know, and even if you come away with 80% of the 80%, you know, that's still 64% of a lot of information, which is good to have as well, because again, that's probably 63% more than some of your competitors have, who are just stabbing in the dark, or hopefully even better, doing the wrong things because they've been tempted down the path of nefarious activities that they shouldn't, in the attempt to get a quick one up on you. And quick one ups, well, they can be great sometimes, but only for a day. So, on-page factors, do's and don'ts of on-page. These are things that give Google, they're signposts to Google. They're telling Google what your website is about, and the web page in particular is about. Let's assume that you've got a website that's got several pages. You may have a blog on there where, if you've been listening to our previous episodes, it's you know, it may be a WordPress blog, for example. Your whole website may be based around WordPress. You may have a home page, an about page, product pages, services pages, and then you may have a news blog or an articles blog, where if you're doing it good, you put up a nice article, you know, once a day, once a week, twice a week, whatever, providing genuinely useful information about various aspects of your product, services, and business. Now, each one of those blog posts, each one of those articles, each one of those web pages, the about page, whatever, home page, product pages, has a little bit of information in the code of the web page that appears to search engines. And in fact, you can go and search, if you right click on a web page and click, there'll be some a little menu pop-up appears, and one of the items in there is view source code, or view source, and that will show you all the code that is lying behind the web page that's been displayed in your browser. And at the top you will see something called page title. Page title is something that you have control over. It's the words that appear in the tab at the top of your web browser, or along the top of your web browser. It's a few words, so you know, it may be your website name followed by the title of the article. It may be gobbledygook. It depends what you've got in there, but the page title you have control over, and that is something that is generally considered across the board as being important to search engines. It's something they look at and give some weight to. If I'm going to indulge the Australian Army's drinking games here, but if you have a web page, get ready, guys. If you have a web page that's all about blue widgets, then it would make sense for the page title to have some reference to blue widgets. It wouldn't make much sense for the page title to be about the latest football score, or, you know, your favourite football team, or something like that, you know, or David's favourite page, you know, page title, David's favourite page. Well, that's you know, welcome to our website. That's another completely crap one. You know, if you're telling Google this is a page that says welcome to our website, well, they've got about 15 billion other websites that, you know, everybody wants to welcome you to a website. But if the page title says this page is about blue widgets and how they can be used in this situation, so, you know, page title might be blue widgets in a harsh environment, or blue widgets in cold weather. Why blue widgets will get your car started. Why da 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 da. So you've got a few down here there, guys, haven't you? Right then.
I was laughing in the background
of that. Okay, okay. So page title, that's important. It's a major signpost that Google is generally considered to take account of. You then have another item in this source code, the meta description. Now, this is the description that appears in the search results. When you get your list of 10 search results comes up, you will quite often have the URL, the web page that is being suggested, and you will have probably about, I don't know, 30 or 40 words of text appear underneath that. It's actually a character limit. I think it's about 150 characters, and that is a description, an overall description of what that web page is about. And although it's an easy place to stuff the search term words that you want that page to reference and be found for. It's an easy place to put those search terms in, and that's what's called keyword stuffing. So you know, your description could be blue widgets in cold weather, blue widgets in warm weather, blue widgets in the sea, blue widgets up mountains, or whatever. It wouldn't make much sense to the reader. That would be called keyword stuffing. As a result of that, Google actually doesn't pay an awful lot of attention. But the people finding your website in the search engines, you know, that they're the words that people will see. So if you've stuffed it full of keywords, they're going to ignore it. They're going to think that's crap. So actually, just from a perspective of getting people who found you in a search engine, which is actually what you're after with all this search engine optimization larkey, you know, people have actually found you in the search engine, entice them to your website with something that makes sense, something that's intriguing, something that's blatantly brilliant, you know, but don't misuse it. Google will give it a little bit of weight, and if there's nothing there, if you don't provide them with a text, Google will actually just copy a little bit of text from probably the beginning of your web page, or the first bit of relevant information it finds that might be related to the page title. It will stuff its own few words in there, and they may not be the words that you actually want them to pick up on. So you know, don't let Google do it for you. Put your own description in there, make it make sense, and that will entice people to your website. And therein actually lies another little bit of search engine optimization benefit. By making your website description that appears in the search engines sensible, by making it enticing, even if you are, say, number 5 in the search engine results, not number 1, if the 4 results above you are full of gobbledygook, are full of unenticing descriptions that do not encourage people to click on those top 4 results, and yours is the 5th, and it looks really good, and, you know, let's say one in three people searching see your website listed as number 5, and they start clicking on it because you've got such a great description, Google's going to notice that. And you know, and if you've got the content to actually back it up when people land on your website and you engage with them on your website and people don't just bounce back to the search results and go back and click on number 3 or number 7 in the results instead, Google will say, hey, you know what, I know this website's showing at number 5 at the moment, but a highly disproportionate number of people seeing this result are clicking on it. You know, if it's number 5, it should be getting about like 3% of the visitors should be clicking on that. You know, why isn't everybody clicking on the first result? Because that's one we think's best. But if everybody's clicking on that 5th one, Google's going to start to form a different opinion. And particularly if people go on and, you know, your content is, it matches that promise, and you know, you engage people and you keep them on your site, Google's going to notice it and start giving you, you know, result number 4, result number 3, and so on until you get even more people coming to your website. So you know, this is all part of a process, and it all takes time, but it all comes around and goes around, and you know, it's little things like this that can make the difference. So there are a couple of important things in what we call the meta tags. There is another one called keywords up there, and you know, it can be worth just sticking the main keyword for the page in, but because historically people put every single keyword in there that they wanted a page to reference for and their website to reference for, you know, it got so abused that Google pays it. I think they've actually officially said they pay it no attention. But anyway, it might just give you a reminder of the keyword that you want that page to be focused on. And therein lies another one. Make a web page focused on one thing. Make an article focused on one thing. Now, that's not to say that you want the keyword that you're hoping that article to register for in the search engines. You don't want that to be stuffed throughout the text. So again, get ready, guys. If you want if you have an article on blue widgets in cold weather, you know, if you have the page title that says using cold widgets in blue widgets in cold weather, the description mentions it, the heading of the article mentions it, it appears in the text about 15,000 times, and so on. You know, you're overdoing it. You know, you want to mix it up a bit. Use some similes, use some synonyms, and so on. Alternative variations of that term. but you don't really want a page on blue widgets in cold weather. You can't really expect it to be registering for red widgets in cold weather, purple widgets in warm weather, and so on and so on. If you try and get every aspect of every widget, of everything you do, of every product and service into one article, Google's going to be scratching its head thinking, you know what, this article's on a little bit of everything, but it's not on anything in particular, so it won't really quite know what to do. So keep it focused without stuffing it, without taking a sledgehammer to the face of Google and saying, this page is about blue widgets in cold weather. Don't do that. You know, give it the signposts, give it the directions, give it the hint as to what it's about, and it that will come to, you know, be registered on that basis for you. So actually looking at the web page, so if you get your web page in the browser, you've done all the important meta tag stuff, you are then going to be looking at things like the heading. The heading, you know, that's normally in bold at the top of it, that's quite important. That should probably include your keyword phrase that you're interested in registering for. That heading, when you're writing it in WordPress, is normally taken as the basis for the website URL. So your website may be abc.com/, and then a few words. And those few words will quite often be taken as being the heading. So if the heading is blue widgets in cold weather, it would be abc.com/blue-widgets-in-cold-weather.html, php, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Don't worry about that bit. So again, you know, you're building up here things, all these signposts for Google, that it comes across early on in the text on the page that it analyzes. It's found the page title at the top of the code, it's found the meta description at the top of the code, it's found the page heading, because obviously the heading is at the top of the page, so it's found that early on, and then it starts looking at the text. And it might, you know, if you've got a hugely long article, it might not look at the whole thing, but it will get the gist of it from the first three or four paragraphs, the first, you know, few hundred words or whatever. So you might want to drop you know, keywords or closely related keywords. Again, you're avoiding the sledgehammer technique here, showing at Google that you're talking around the subject and so on and so on. Think about a newspaper. It has the heading. The opening paragraph will probably be related closely to the heading to tell the reader what it's about, and then it will go off on using similar terms and referencing da-di-da all over the place, but it's all related content. You know, you wouldn't get, after the first paragraph of a newspaper article, suddenly it would start talking about yesterday's sport if the article is about current politics or something like that. It would has to make sense. Image file names, we've mentioned in the past, it's if you've got images in the website copy, and images are always interesting to people. People like images on the whole. Make sure the file names aren't just img00782.jpg, but you can rename them so it gives a hint about what the image is about. There is something, a tag in there called alt text, which is the text that if the image can't be displayed, it may your browser may display that text to give the reader, the viewer, an indication of what the image was or is about. And if you're blind, it will also read the text out to them if they have a text reader. In all of this, this is the big do. Write naturally. Don't try and cram your keyword in so many times so it forms a percentage of the overall text. You know, if you've got a 1,000-word article and you're trying to fit using blue widgets in cold weather in, you know, it's going to appear a couple of times. Everything else is going to be a variation of it. You know, but that precise phrase, which your keyword research has shown that 1,000 people a day search on, you know, temptation to use that precise keyword so many times is a bad thing to do. You don't want to do it. That is where I think we're going to stop with on-page optimization. The on-page factors, that's pretty much most of what you want to be thinking about. Don't force it is the main thing. Provide all the directions in a genuine and readable and natural way. Yeah, that's all in your control. You can do that. We'll now move on to the harder one, which is off-page factors. And these are the links that come back to you. Now, having written your article, having having published a website and built up, say, a stock of 100 articles or a dozen articles or whatever you've got going over time, you've got your good content out on there. In an ideal world, Google would love it if you stopped at that, and they would love it if other people reading your website who had the option to write something about it, you know, they've got their own website and they've found your page and they say, hey, this is a great article on blue widgets in cold weather. If they would write a link, you know, if they're in writing their content, they include a link to your website, that's really what Google would like. And, you know, over time, organically, people would write and discover, people would discover the good articles and include links to good articles like yours in their own websites or in comments or in forums or in these kind of Yahoo Answers or places where people can provide advice and help and so on. That's what they would really like. And of course, what's happened is that people know that these links work and help give their website a boost, because the more people that include links to your website from around the world then and around the internet, then the more your website is going to rise up those search engine rankings and appear near the top. So what would you do if that was you would want to get more links out there, and here's the do's. Do contact people that maybe have a connection with your business and your industry, and ask them if they would, for no material benefit in return, you know, certainly no money, ask them if they will link to you, or can you write a guest post on their website? Not being overly self-promotional, I mean, and the best guest posts here will, you know, are articles that you are prepared to write for somebody else's website to give them more content and beef up their authority for their website slightly, where you discuss the topic in general of using blue widgets up mountains in cold weather, and they will allow you a link to your website in return, that's a reasonable thing to do. As long as here, you aren't reusing the same article on dozens and dozens of other guest posts that you're going to write for other people. Again, if you duplicate things, if you reuse the same content, if you reuse the same links on several different websites as a guest writer, you're going to get a little bit of a knock there. And again, if you also end up writing dozens and dozens of guest articles for the same website, so maybe you're becoming their editor-in-chief almost. Again, if you write a 500 word article and the last 30 words are always the same about your website with a link to your website about blue widgets, it's going to start looking a little bit suspicious. It's going to, not suspicious as much as overdoing it, really. So, you know, one or two guest articles in different places. Quite often you don't need a lot of links, you just need good links in good places. Quality will always win out over quantity. So if you provide a good article on somebody else's website, that may well be referenced by other websites. So again, your link is going to start getting visitors from other websites that link to that one, and then they're going to find yours, and then they're going to link to you. So you have to allow some time for this to happen. It's not an instant answer, but you're sowing the seeds for longer term success, and that will tend to work for you. You can go and find other websites, other forums that are relevant to your products and services, and engage with the community there. If there's a forum, if there's articles that allow you to comment, most people would allow you to, many websites allow you to add a comment at the end of an article and have your name, for example, would be linked. Now, you can link your name to your website, and the days of choosing a name that was also your product service is kind of gone now. As we discussed last week, the words of the link to your website are quite important. So if the words to your website are blue widget, then you will those words are what's called the anchor text. Now, if you write a comment at the end of somebody's article, they've created an article, they allow comments on it, and you know you comment genuinely on it, they may or may not allow you to include a link to your own website there, and they may or may not allow you to have that link instead of being, you know, you've written a response to an article that says blah 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 blah. I hope you found this really useful. You know, I actually provide more information at my own website on this, and you know, my website is abc.com/bluewidgets. You know, they may allow that. They may even allow you to have the anchor text for that whole link as being, you can find more information on Blue Widgets, where Blue Widgets is the anchor text, and link to you. They may well not, and that's up to each website owner as to what they allow. What they do normally allow, though, is that your name on the side, which could be David, so David's commenting, you know, that is a link, and that can be a link to your website. Now, unfortunately, that means the anchor text will be David rather than Blue Widget, but you have to live with that because you are drawing people, you're getting links back to your website. Now, again, you can build your authority here because if your name is David Smith, and you want to be perceived as an authority about Blue Widgets, then Google will, if you start commenting on other websites around the world on their after their articles, and Google will start attributing the anchor text of David Smith with Blue Widgets, and your name is David Smith on your website, and you have Blue Widgets, and da da da, and Google ties the things together. So you will start getting some benefit for that. And gaining some authority. But the most important thing that we've discussed here all the way through is that this is natural. These are reasonable things to do. Google is not going to penalize you unless you start going overboard or unless you start doing something silly with all of that. Where Google will penalize you is where you start paying for links, is where you start finding people or people come to you saying, you know, we can provide a service of building hundreds of links to your website in return for money or in return for some other reciprocation of favor. So you'll get things like, and this used to work, we'll provide a link to your website if you provide a link to our website. Reciprocal links. Things like link farms. Mm-hmm. This is another one where people would have a page, pages and pages and pages of links to websites, all being paid for, basically, all reciprocal links and so on. They're unnatural. They're not web pages that anybody actually really wants to look at and find useful. They're just done purely for the benefit of link manipulation. Don't do it. If somebody says we've got a thousand blogs that Google, they're called a private blog network, hundreds and hundreds of individual websites, and they've got articles strewn all over them, and we will put your links in there. Again, you know, effectively you're paying for that to get links back to your website. There's no need for you to link to them. They will just link to you. It's a one-way link in return for money. Don't do it. Won't work. It might work for the short term, but it will get slapped. You know, Google has been remarkably effective over the last 3 or 4 years of really slapping these things down because they provide no benefit to their users. At the end of the day, just keep thinking about, does it provide benefit to the actual viewer, the actual user that's searching for these terms and finds my site? If not, think again, start again. Gosh, we could go on here. Things like press releases. Press releases were all in vogue about 3 or 4 years ago for search engine optimization because you could issue an electronic press release. So, you know, ABC company releases new blue widget, and you would have, bit of text, and then it would have a keyword rich anchor text link to your website. So that link to your website would be releases new blue widgets in cold weather situations, started off, or using cold weather situations, and that would be the anchor text, that would be the link back to your website. For more information, contact our PR office, here they did, telephone numbers, etc., etc. And that press release would get sent out electronically through various distribution agencies, and you could end up with perhaps, you know, 10,000 or 20,000 examples of that press release being distributed to all these agencies and stuff and appearing on the web. 20,000 links sounded great, and it worked for quite a while, but you know what? Google didn't like it. So use press releases more carefully with greater consideration than that kind of sledgehammer in the face of Google approach. Again, not such a good thing. again, you know, all we're saying here is don't force things, don't manipulate things. If you're trying to do that, you know, if you think it's a great idea to manipulate, if you found the secret ingredient, it might be for now, but it won't be for long. Other places you can get links from, you know, consider having a Google Plus page. Google pays attention to its own website. So if you've got a Google Plus, its own version of Facebook, for want of a better phrase, its own social media site to try and get people to interact and engage socially. It's still got some way to go, obviously, to get close to Facebook at the moment. But, you know, if you have a page there, having the odd link back to your website will be seen as good. You know, it's somewhere Google goes to look at things. Again, if you put the odd link on Facebook, we're talking about the odd link, the occasional link, not a post today with a link to, hey, how great we are, because that will piss off everybody that looks at their Facebook page, as far as you're concerned, you know, defriend you, unlike you, whatever, just overdoing it. So, you know, the odd one, you know, in your about profile, the odd post that you put there, good stuff. Again, YouTube, Google likes YouTube because they own it. So if you have a video there, and in the description underneath the video, you know, have a link, but just a link, and maybe not every time, you know, in all of these good places to do it, the reasonable places for you to do it. Don't manipulate the anchor text every time. Every single link you have is just for blue widgets, gosh, it's going to be saying, you know what, we know what this guy's trying to do, and we don't really like it. But if you provide good content with a sensible link, it will add benefit over time, and it is a process, it is time, you want more content. The best thing you can do is keep adding more content. That's non-page factor. You know, more content, more authority, more stuff for Google to pick up and analyze. You're getting the idea. It's a process, it's ongoing. I'm hoping you're getting the idea here. And I suppose from a purely technical point of view, you also want to make sure that your website is actually set up to allow the search engines to crawl and analyze your website, and that's something called a robots.txt file. And I believe we actually covered that in an earlier episode when we had Steve Ovens, our SEO expert, on episode 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that. Make sure you have a robots.txt file that actually allows, or at least doesn't prevent, the Google robots and spiders from crawling your website to find all this good information. David, hopefully we've added another layer of information and not too much complexity there to the topic of search engines and optimizing for them.
I thought that was unbelievably comprehensive, actually. I thought that was terrific.
You can tell my voice is... I've got another episode I could have a crack at. We've got all sorts of things we could have a crack at about website domain names, and I'll just give you one really quick one here. People quite often think, or have thought in the past, what should I choose for my website domain name? Should I choose my business name, or should I choose the product that I want to sell? So, you know, you'll see people, let's say you sell stone flooring, but you are Hobart Floors, for example, but you mainly sell quarry tile flooring. Do you choose a business name, a website name that is hobartfloors.com.au, or do you choose stonequarrytilefloors.com.au, because that's what everybody searches for. Now, in the old days, just going back to this thing about anchor text, the reason that Stone Quarry Tile Floors would stonequarrytilefloors.com.au or whatever would register well in Google search results was because it would typically have links to it where, from around the internet, these off-site factors, where the anchor text was about quarry tile floors or stone quarry tile floors or whatever, and it would have hundreds of links coming to it from around the internet, because by its nature people would refer to go visit www.stonequarrytilefloors.com, and the words, the actual keyword that you're hoping to register well for, is in the domain name. So as well as people writing anchor texts for things like, for more information on quarry tile floors, visit the anchor text, the link itself, might be quarry tile floors, might be stone floors, might be www.stonequarrytilefloors.com.au. That's why it would rank well. That's called an exact match domain. Now, that's all very well, but of course your business may change over the next 2 or 3 years, and you know, you might find that vinyl flooring is back in vogue and that's what everybody's going for. So all of a sudden you've got a website that's a little bit out of date for you, not generating what you want, and you have to start another website called vinylfloors.com.au or whatever. So you want to be really careful about that. Think about your brand name, build up your image, make your website name about your brand name and build the brand, because that will be around longer than any particular facet of your business, with luck anyway. Sorry, that's the final one. Stretched out the episode there a bit. Sorry about that. Gosh, any questions? People should have questions on this sort of stuff, because there's lots of stuff to go at. But in the meantime, I'm going to wrap it up there, David, because my voice is giving out. What do you reckon? Any questions?
No, you know what? I've got something for people to do, though. If you're ever wondering what Google owns and therefore which, you know, products would be the best products to use, I suggest you just go to somewhere simple like Wikipedia and put in what does Google own. It is an enormous list. I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and it just goes on and on and on.
Yep.
And honestly, there are things there that I didn't even know that Google owns. If you can take advantage of the products that Google owns, you know, get in and do it, because it is a really great way, especially if you're looking at how to optimize your site.
Yep.
Always look for a Google product. Anyway, I reckon that does us.
And really importantly, use it nicely. Don't abuse it.
Yes, absolutely. Always use it nicely. Treat it like it's a member of your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, a member of your family you like, anyway.
Yeah. Until next week, where can they find us, Croaky?
Jeez. Croaky here. Right. www.davidversusdavid.com is our website, where you can access every other episode, every one of the previous 74 episodes before this glorious episode are listed there in full Technicolor, black and white anyway. And you can also see us at facebook.com/David versus David. And best of all, leave us a glowing 5-star review, especially for this episode. My voice deserves it. 5-star review, please, at iTunes. That's what we like. That's what we love. As for search engine optimization, we'll answer any questions you have. Got more questions, leave them with us, and we'll get to that in an episode before long. Probably have something different next week, just for the people that already know it inside out. They want to listen to something different, perhaps. But in the meantime, until next week, from me here in the UK, Dave Pritchard, it is over and out.
And from me here in beautiful paradise, Tasmania, it's goodbye. And we'll catch you again next week. See ya.
Indeed. Bye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.